Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 20th, 2019. Today is Holy Saturday. What I'm going to share with you now is the homily that I will be offering in a couple of hours at our Easter Vigil. It is still very much Holy Saturday. The Vigil is the first Eucharist of Easter and doesn't happen until after sundown. But I thought I would share this homily as a way of encapsulating some of the things I've been thinking about on what has been an absolutely beautiful and gorgeous spring day here in Wisconsin. So, here's the homily. Of all the lessons appointed by the prayer book to illustrate the sweep of God's salvation of the world, there are 9 of them all together for the vigil. Aren't you glad that at Trinity Church we don't read them all? The only one we are required to read is the story of Israel's deliverance at the Red Sea. The rationale for this requirement is straightforward. The story of the Exodus, complete with burning bush, a stubborn Pharaoh, a recalcitrant Moses, 10, count them, 10 plagues, the Passover, and the moment at the banks of the sea itself is the seminal story for the covenant people of God. At the headwaters of Christian history, as followers of Jesus began to search the scriptures they had at their disposal to shed light on the story they were living, the Exodus story loomed large. Since the first disciples were Jews, the Exodus story was their story. It defined them as a people. Then, as more and more Gentiles became Christians, this story of God's action in history took on significant typological meaning as well. Slavery in Egypt became a cipher for being a slave to sin and death. The promised land became a metaphor for eternal joy with God. The wilderness wandering became an allegory for the spiritual life. The Red Sea and all of its chaotic wildness became the prototypical waters of baptism. And while I love me some good biblical metaphors, what gets lost in all these sorts of typological renderings is the raw emotion of the story itself. On the run from the technologically sophisticated Egyptians with a war machine of chariots and chariot drivers, the ragtag multitude of former slaves are literally up against it. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. The joy of newfound freedom evaporates in fear. They are howling in anxiety and are ready to revolt against their leader Moses. Better to die in hopeless slavery than to die with freedom just out of reach. Moses receives an assurance from the Almighty, along with specific directions of what to do next. According to the text, he stretches out his hands and voila, the wind begins to blow, and in the perfect cinematic moment, the waters are rolled up like walls, and the people of God walk across without even getting their feet wet. That's some deliverance, huh? And as much as I'm drawn to the drama of this biblical story, a few years back, around Passover time, I was at a greater Milwaukee interfaith gathering, and a local rabbi told another version of the story, which is in the rabbinic literature. It goes like this. The whole scene is exactly as described in the book of Exodus. Moses stretches out his hands, the wind starts to blow, the Egyptians are bearing down, and nothing happens. The situation is growing more desperate by the moment. Everyone is crowding onto the shore, a helpless mass of humanity crushed in upon itself. And then one man, the literature names him Nahshon, steps into the water. Nothing happens. He wades in up to his knees. Nothing happens. He wades in up to his waist. Nothing happens. Presently, the water is chest high and then chin high, still nothing. Nahshon takes a few more steps and the seawater is lapping against his upper lip. Nothing. One more step and the man will drown. An act of desperate faith. An act of a man who would rather drown free than die a slave. And then, just as his nose goes below the surface, the water rushes away from him and the path through the tempest appears. The entire nation is delivered because one man's faith can't be deterred by a little seawater. The rabbi telling us the story then offered the punchline. The life of faith means walking to the edge of what's humanly possible and trusting God to meet you there. Since yesterday afternoon, the church all over the world has sat in darkness as it has mourned again the death of Jesus on the cross. We sit in darkness now, waiting, anticipating, believing, hoping. The reason this waiting is so important is to remind us to the depths of our being that the mystery of Easter cannot be reduced to some sort of Hollywood ending where ethereal music swells, Jesus appears in fuzzy backlit relief, and poof, life is somehow magically transformed into unicorns and rainbows where no one ever gets sick, tragedies are extinguished, and all of humankind's social ills are set aright. In this version, Easter isn't an invitation to faith, it's a fairy tale. When the children of Israel get to the other side of the sea, and after they have witnessed the destruction of Pharaoh's army, they are free. They are free in the middle of a hostile nowhere, with nothing to sustain them save what they brought along for the journey, and their oftentimes tenuous faith in God. Their deliverance is not the end of the story. It's the beginning. They continued to walk in fits and starts, and sometimes in circles, to the edge of possibility. And in all of their confusion, they kept meeting up with God. In a moment, we will fling on the lights, ring the bells, sing the Gloria, proclaim the Easter acclamation, and celebrate the Eucharist. And you know what? We will still be people with doubts and fears, prejudices and anxieties, health problems, difficult relationships, financial insecurities, and a whole litany of pet peeves, grievances, and hatreds. And what does the church invite us to do as we are enveloped in the Easter mystery? Just keep walking. Walk by faith. Walk until it feels as if you might drown in doubt. Walk right up to the edge of what is humanly possible. And then, through the eyes of faith, just on the other side of that edge, we may catch a glimpse of resurrection. And our lives will never, ever be the same. Let us pray. O God, whose wonderful deeds of old shine forth even to our own day, you once delivered by the power of your mighty arm your chosen people from slavery under Pharaoh, to be a sign for us of the salvation of all nations by the water of baptism. Grant that all the peoples of the earth may be numbered among the offspring of Abraham, and rejoice in the inheritance of Israel, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.